Okay, let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We pray that you would help us to have a better understanding of the importance of the truth in this passage. Teach us by thy Spirit now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. These five verses here at the end of chapter 4 in Proverbs form a unit, and that's because the five Proverbs all relate to the same topic that is introduced in verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. We know that our heart has been described as the inner control center of the human being. It's our inner man, including our mind, our will, our understanding, and our emotions. It's the seat of our thought life, or reflection, the seat of our appetites or desires, the seat of our emotions and passions, as well as the seat of our courage and our will. And when we say that the heart is the seat of all these things, we mean that our heart is where all of these activities take root and grow. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So here we see that our heart can be the seat of good or evil. It can produce that which is holy, good, and right, or it can produce that which is unholy, evil, and wrong. Our heart determines what we are like as individuals. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Only by examining our heart will we truly understand the type of person we really are. You know, God told Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:7 that the Lord doesn't see as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart. And it's no wonder that the heart of man, the inner control center, is the part of man that God is most concerned about. In 1 Thessalonians 2, at the end of verse 4, Paul spoke of God, and he described him as God which trieth our hearts. And the word translated tries in that verse carries the meaning of proving or testing. Testing something to determine whether it's worthy or not. So our heart is where God looks to see if we are passing the test or not. Our heart is where God looks to see if we are fulfilling his purpose for our lives. Let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 4. And in verse 23, Solomon's exhortation to his son is to keep your heart. The word translated keep means to guard, to watch or watch over. It means to observe it and pay attention to it so you can preserve it and guard it from danger. And Solomon tells him to do it with all diligence. In other words, He is to do his best to guard his heart with great care. And the Hebrew word translated diligence means a place of confinement that is heavily guarded, like a guard post or a prison. So keep thy heart with all diligence carries the thought that we are to guard our heart above all things to be guarded. This is the top priority, assignment number one in life. Well, why is that the case? Well, it's, as the verse goes on, for out of it, the heart, are the issues of life. Every issue of life is sourced in the heart. The word translated issues speaks of that which flows from a source. It's something that is outgoing. It goes out from the source. The New International Version of the Bible translates it as the wellspring of life. The issues are the wellspring. The spring that is flowing out freely from its source. The New International Version translation for the entire verse is this: above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Our heart is the wellspring or the source of all our behavior in life. And the New American Standard Version translation is similar: for out of it, the heart, out of it flow the springs of life. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. And in verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So here at the end of verse 34, Jesus tells us that everything that flows out of our mouth originates in our heart. And then in verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. In verse 35, the point is that everything we do, everything our minds think, all that we plan, all our desires, all that we determine or choose, all of these issues originate in the heart. And since our heart is spoken of as the wellspring of life, it makes sense to protect the well. We wouldn't want any poison in our well or in our town water supply. You know, poison in a well affects everything that comes out of it. And so it is with our heart. If there's poison there, it will affect every other aspect of our life, our words and our deeds. The entire direction of our life will be affected. And that's the point Jesus is making in verse 35. What's in our heart determines whether it produces good things or evil things. If there's good treasure in our heart, it produces good things. And if there's evil treasure, it produces evil things. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4. And verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Coming right after the verse that says, keep your heart with all diligence, Solomon is making the connection between our hearts and the words that we speak. Our heart controls what comes out of our mouth. So Solomon is agreeing with what Jesus said in Matthew 12. And then in verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Here Solomon is connecting the heart with the things that the eyes look at, the heart, the inner control center, decides what the eyes look at. Here the word look embraces everything from a casual glance to a sustained and favorable contemplation or a stare. That means that even a casual glance at something inappropriate can be just as poisonous in our heart as a prolonged stare. And then in verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Since Solomon has identified the heart as the starting point of all the activities of life, it determines the course or the path that we take in our day-to-day life. So he offers more sound advice along these lines. Ponder the path of thy feet. Ponder means to weigh. The idea is that we should weigh carefully every step we take. We should weigh every step against the knowledge of the known will of God. You know, there are snares and traps and stumbling blocks along the way. So it's vital to ponder the path of our feet. And then in verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. This verse is linked to verse 25. Verse 25, his eyes were to look right on, straight ahead. And the point is that first he fixes his eyes on the goal, and then he is to head straight for it and not to get sidetracked or go off course. As we sang this morning, be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. That's the starting point. He is Lord of our heart. You know, everything in this passage at the end of Proverbs 4 points back to verse 23. If we are guarding our heart, we will have more control over what comes out of our mouth. If we're guarding our heart, we'll be careful about what our eyes look at. If we're guarding our heart, we'll take heed to our ways. Our ways will be established, firm, and fixed. We'll be heading in the right direction toward the goal. And we won't turn to the right or to the left. We won't swerve off course when we're guarding our heart. And these are the reasons that Solomon gives in this passage as to why we are to guard our heart. Now, the passage began, in our responsive reading, we read, started in verse 20 and 21, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. So Solomon is instructing his son to pay attention to and keep God's word, God's wisdom. Keep it in the center of your heart. You know, this wisdom is described earlier in the chapter in verse 7, Proverbs 4 and verse 7. It's described, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The first in time or order of importance, it is the principal thing. We are to seek wisdom, God's wisdom, with all our heart. Seek it as for treasure. And that's the good treasure that Jesus is referring to that should be in our heart. And after we seek that treasure, we are to guard our heart with all diligence. Above all other things to be guarded, our heart is to be the top priority. Solomon tells his son that God's wisdom is the principal thing necessary to help guard his heart. You know, we have a lot of areas in life to pay close attention to and to God with great care. Our spouse, our children, our job, our finances, our ministries, our time, and other resources. These all require great care and protection and watching over or guarding. But above them all, we are to give the greatest diligence in guarding and protecting our heart. And our heart is to be guided by God's wisdom. That will guard our heart. And again, as we sang earlier, thou and thou only, first in my heart. In Proverbs 28:26, Solomon wrote, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And the point is that when we let the wisdom of God that we have acquired in our head, when we let that wisdom sink down into our heart, then we will walk wisely and worthy of our high calling in Christ. And the Bible is full of admonitions along these lines and reasons why we need to guard our heart. And let's just consider a few. Very familiar passage, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the depths of our depravity? That Hebrew word, who can know it, is translated unsearchable in other areas, in other scripture passages. The depths of our depravity are unsearchable. There's no limit. In Obadiah, verse 3, God was speaking to the prophet. He said to Edom, the descendants of Esau, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? They thought they were safe. They thought they would never be defeated, dwelling in the clefts of the rock as they did. They thought that they would never feel the chastening hand of God. Boy, were they wrong. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, another familiar verse, the prophet wrote, they honor me with their lips, but they have removed their hearts far from me. This was God's assessment of the Israelites. So we have to ask, what kind of a heart do we have? How near to the heart of God is it? You know, we can become very good at putting up a front, honoring God with our lips, but sometimes that front isn't a good reflection of what's really going on inside. That's the textbook definition of hypocrisy. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 30, the prophet writes, how weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman. So here God is asking unfaithful Israel, how weak is thine heart? You know, an unguarded heart will become weak and unfaithful. Later on in this chapter, Israel's behavior is described as being worse than Sodom, which was desperately wicked. So an unguarded heart is a weak heart. It's not strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let's turn ahead to the book of Hosea, right after Daniel, the book of Hosea, chapter 10. Hosea gives a description of the Jews in that day, and he says, their heart is divided. In verse 2, chapter 10 and verse 2, their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. So, they had divided hearts. Sometimes good things were produced, and sometimes evil things were produced, and God was going to judge them. Turn ahead to chapter 13, Hosea chapter 13 and verse 6. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. So they were filled, they were blessed by the Lord, and their heart was exalted, and they forgot where their blessings came from. Their blessings produced proud hearts instead of thankful hearts. And then back a page in chapter 11, verse 7, another description of these people. My people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. You know, they refused to exalt the Lord and give him the place that he deserved in their lives. They were filled and their heart was exalted. And you know, we are no different. We have hearts that are prone to wander. Let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So we're looking at the first description, the first half of the verse, backslider in heart, being filled with his own ways. That type of a person will be filled and suffer the consequences of that lifestyle. You know, God really desires something much better for his children. But our heart has to be in the right place. It has to be a yielded and obedient heart. You know, a very familiar exhortation was given three times to the Hebrew Christians who were facing testing and trials. Three times in that epistle, the writer gave the exhortation, harden not your hearts. Don't be stubborn. Don't follow the example of your forefathers who didn't trust God and turned away from entering the promised land. You know, if believers backslide in their heart, they will suffer the consequences. Let's turn ahead to Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 12. Yea, they made their heart as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Here God gives the reason he had to judge the Israelites with both the Assyrian and the Babylonian captivity. They had hard hearts. They refused to respond to the words of God from the prophets. The poison from the pagans around them entered into and corrupted their hearts. And as a result, their hearts were not soft and tender. They were not willing to have obedient hearts. Instead, they made their hearts as an adamant stone. They were hard-hearted. So this is why we need to guard our heart. When our heart is not guarded, it will wander away. And usually it wanders in a bad direction. Let's turn back to Job chapter 15. Make you look at a lot of verses out there so you don't fall asleep. Job 15 and verse 12. Why doth thine heart carry thee away, and what do thy eyes wink at? Here, Eliphaz wrongly accused Job in this case, but the point is well taken. You know, our hearts can carry us away, and we can become attached to the world. We can become insensitive to the things of God when our heart carries us away. And allowing poison from the world into our heart will cause us to wander out of the will of God. In Hebrews chapter 3, familiar passage, take heed, brethren, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. This is what can happen when a believer stops trusting in the Lord. And this is why we need to guard our heart and to exhort others, other believers, to do the same thing. You know, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, we're very familiar with the second half of the verse, but the first half of this verse says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. That's the part we know. But the contrast here is between one who has a lifted up and proud heart, who leans on his own understanding, describing his attitude as not upright. That type of a person is contrasted with the better choice. The just shall live by faith. To trust in the Lord with all our heart, that is the path of the just. And that's what we want to consider now, how to guard our heart. You know, the Bible teaches that God is the one who keeps or guards our soul, which includes our heart. But we have a responsibility here, too. Let's turn ahead to Psalm 25. And in verse 20, David prayed, O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. You know, God keeps our soul, which includes our heart, as we commit it to him by faith. Remember, the just shall live by faith. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. Chapter 5, 1 John 5 and verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Here we have a misleading translation in the King James Version, but if you delve into the words from the original Greek, and we're not going to do that now, Christ is seen as the one who keeps or guards the believer. No one, not even Satan, can pluck us out of his hand. And this interpretation goes along with what Jesus said in the high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, verse 12, where he said, I kept them in thy name. So he is the one that keeps or guards the believer. And it's comforting. It's comforting to know that our ultimate security doesn't depend upon our grip on the Lord, but his grip on us. And no one can pluck us out of his hand. Turn back to 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. So the command is to commit the keeping of our soul, which is our whole life, including our outward circumstances and our inner heart, to God. Commit it to God for safekeeping. Committing the keeping of our soul to the Lord requires a trusting and believing heart. It requires an obedient and faithful heart. It requires giving our heart to God. Now in 1 Peter 1, verse 5, we're told that we are kept by the power of God. And in Philippians 4, 7, as a result of praying, of letting our requests be made known unto God, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And again, the word keep has the same meaning, which is to guard or to preserve. And here it's used in a spiritual sense. You know, as believers, we enjoy the spiritual blessings of the new covenant, the biggest one being that we've been given a new heart, a regenerated, born-again heart that is able to walk with and please the Lord. And we can never lose that regenerated heart. It's guarded. It's kept by the power of God. But there is a sense, the conditional sense, that it is our responsibility to keep our own hearts. Proverbs 4:23 tells us to keep our heart, to guard our heart. It's our responsibility to guard the condition of our heart by inclining it to the things of God, by inclining it to spiritual things, by being spiritually minded, filling our hearts and minds with good thoughts, things that are true and honest and just, pure and lovely and of good report. These are the types of things that are to fill our mind and hearts. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So, again, our soul includes our heart, and it is to be guarded diligently. We are to behave in such a way that God feels at home in our hearts, so we don't forget where our blessings come from. Turn ahead just a couple pages to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, another familiar verse. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Jesus described this in the Gospels as the first and greatest commandment. This is what our heart attitude should be at all times. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. Another very familiar passage, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Love the Lord with all thy heart, and trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Let's turn ahead to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Since our heart determines the course of our life, we are to pay attention to God's wisdom. And that's what God wants, to guide our hearts. You know, we have to allow God's wisdom to sink down into our hearts and to take root there. Psalm 139:23, another familiar passage. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Guarding our heart requires keeping a pure conscience. Allowing God to examine our heart is the best way to guard it. And along those lines, Proverbs 4:27, we already looked at this passage, ponder the path of thy feet. Think about where we are, how we spend our time throughout the day. Is this activity lawful? Is it edifying? Is it a pure wellspring of life? Or is there poison? Will the activity bring us under its power? You know, what is going on in our heart to direct our steps in this way? Is it a good path? Is it a right path in God's sight? That's part of examining our heart. You know, David's heart is revealed in the Psalms. He's described as a man after God's own heart. His heart panted after God's word. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And we need to saturate our mind and heart with God's word. His word and his will for our life is to always be in the center of our heart. So we are to keep constant vigilance over our heart, to guard it with all diligence. And the verse right before that in Psalm 119, verse 10, David wrote, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You know, we like David, are prone to wander. And we need to have David's purpose of heart. We need to seek the Lord and his wisdom with all our heart, and to love him with all our heart. Now, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. He refused to wander away from the Lord. In Acts 11:23, Barnabas exhorted the new believers in Antioch that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, meaning that with purpose of heart, in a spiritual sense, they would stick close, they would stick fast and stay attached to the Lord, and to never ever wander away. Let's turn to James chapter 4. James James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. This is how to cleave unto the Lord and how to draw near to Him and guard our hearts. And it requires purging any poison that appears in our hearts. We need to be confessing and forsaking our sins constantly throughout the day to keep our hearts pure and undefiled. If our heart is defiled, it will manifest itself in countless ugly ways. And these double-minded believers that James is addressing were wavering in their minds. They were suffering from divided loyalties. On the one hand, they wanted to maintain their walk with the Lord, and they desired God's presence in their life. And on the other hand, they loved the ways of the world and sometimes felt that the world's standards were good enough for them. And James addresses the root of the problem here. They needed to purify their hearts. And a pure heart will make no provision for the flesh. And 1 John 2:15, again a familiar passage, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And this familiar passage reminds us that our hearts are not to love the world. Allowing poison from the world into our hearts will cause us to wander from doing the will of God. So instead of loving the world, the better choice in our heart is to do the will of God. And we're told in that passage in 1 John that the one who does the will of God abides forever. Speaking of the constant fellowship we can have with the Lord when our hearts are right with Him, when we're doing His will. Turn back a couple pages to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry, forward a couple pages. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So here Peter commends the believers for their obedient hearts. They purified their souls in obeying the truth. And obedience produces the joy of fellowship with the Lord and other believers. You know, God really cares about the condition of our hearts. The Bible tells us in many places that God is the one who can bring peace to our heart. He is the God of peace. He's the one who truly comforts our hearts. He is the God of all comfort. You know, there can be special times of fellowship with the Lord as we face fiery trials. God has promised to never leave us or forsake us. And let's close with one more verse, Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. When we get that heartbreaking news, and sooner or later we all do, something that happens that continually brings tears to our eyes, God wants to be the one to heal that broken heart and strengthen his child with might in the inner man, in the heart, by his Spirit. And in these times of fellowship with the Lord, when our heart is broken, he especially makes his presence known. He is near. And our broken and contrite spirit will be strengthened by his Spirit. Our hearts are kept by his power. They are guarded by his power and comfort and the peace that only he can give every moment of every day, no matter what trial or temptation we may face, but especially in those times when our hearts have been broken. God is especially near in those times. And, you know, it really is the biggest blessing of having our heart broken, the comfort and peace of his presence that he gives at those times. His all-sufficient grace to meet our every need. You know, those are the good gifts that come from above. And as the song ended, heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. You know, he is sovereign, and we are dust. Yet he wants us to cast our cares on him because he cares for us. What amazing grace. His presence is all we need. That is what will guard our heart. We need to see him in everything that happens in our lives. Still be my vision, O ruler of all. You know, and it's for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When we respond in the right way to the temptation or the trial, when there's nothing between our soul and our Savior, when we really have the sweet communion and fellowship of his presence, that's the way to guard our heart with all diligence. Let's pray. Father, we just pray that you would help us to purpose in our heart to cleave unto the Lord, to stick fast no matter what happens, to love and trust in the Lord with all our heart, and to keep and guard our heart with all diligence. And we praise you for your amazing, all-sufficient grace in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.